Ohne deine Hilfe wäre ich morgen noch nicht umgezogen, Marc. Hier, nimm mal den Karton. Hä? Marc?
Lass dich nicht kaltstellen von der Erkältung. Aspirin Complex wirkt gegen mehrere Symptome gleichzeitig. Es lindert Erkältungsschmerzen, Fieber und befreit sogar Nase und Nebenhöhlen. Schnell, effektiv bis zu 6 Stunden.
Los geht's. Hep.
Aspirin Complex. Trotz Erkältung voll im Leben. Zu Risiken und Nebenwirkungen lesen Sie die Packungsbeilage und fragen Sie Ihre Ärztin, Ihren Arzt oder in Ihrer Apotheke.
Greenland is actually a very quiet place in this world. Far up in the north, in the Arctic, a huge island 6 times the size of Germany, with a population of just 57,000 people. Lots of ice, lots of wind, and very little world politics. Or so it seemed. Suddenly, however, Greenland has moved to the center of global attention. US President Donald Trump talks about Greenland as if it were a piece of real estate. At times he wants to buy the island, then he calls it strategically indispensable. At other moments, he does not even rule out military action, only to row back again shortly afterwards. Most recently, at the World Economic Forum in Davos, he said he would not attack Greenland. That, at least, was some good news. And yet, doubts remain. A framework agreement is now supposed to somehow regulate that the Americans gain even more access to Greenland than they already have. What exactly is in this agreement, however, nobody really knows. Over the past few days, I was in Nuuk, the capital of Greenland. About a third of the island's entire population lives there, and I felt it was important to simply talk to people about what they actually think of these plans being made in Washington, and how they feel about all these discussions that have suddenly thrust them, as I said, into the center of world politics. Trump was clearly the dominant topic in recent days. Nuuk, one has to say, is very, very small, and everything is within walking distance. For example, in the Ivana shopping center, I met Ivana and Aviena. They are 14 and 13 years old, both students, and both have very clear opinions about what is being discussed.
I feel like America should not buy Greenland. Greenland should be free.
These are certainly not slogans they have simply picked up somewhere. It is a feeling I sensed in almost everyone I spoke to in Nuuk. Young or old, no one wants to become American, and no one wants to be claimed or taken over by Trump.
In Crisis Mode, the podcast from Conflict Zones with Jan Jessen.
Welcome to In Crisis Mode. I'm Jan Jessen, political editor and crisis reporter for the Funke Media Group. Greenland, as mentioned, 6 times the size of Germany, is largely covered in ice. In the interior of the country, temperatures can drop to as low as minus 70 degrees Celsius. Greenland is mainly inhabited along its coastal regions, and Nuuk, the capital of Greenland, is located in the southwest of the country. Greenland is an autonomous territory within the Kingdom of Denmark. Just as a side note, Copenhagen is about 3,500 kilometers away from Nuuk, significantly farther than New York. Greenland was a Danish colony for more than 200 years. Today, as mentioned, it is an autonomous territory with its own parliament and its own government. Many areas are therefore administered by Greenlanders themselves. However, foreign and security policy are still handled by Copenhagen. Greenland does not have its own army. That said, Danish soldiers are stationed in Greenland. There is also an American military base in the north of the island. But overall, it is primarily the Danes who are responsible for security. While we were there, 2 larger warships of the Danish Navy were also stationed in Greenland, patrolling the Bay of Nuuk. And in recent years, there have repeatedly been efforts by many Greenlanders to achieve full and complete independence. That has to be said. Over the past days and weeks, this has changed noticeably. Many have realized that with just 57,000 people, they are simply far too small to be fully independent, especially when a major power like the United States suddenly starts making claims. As a result, the independence debates that at times were very intense in the past have now largely come to a standstill. The people I met say that perhaps it is, after all, better to be protected by Denmark against these American ambitions. But above all, and this is the most important point, they want to decide their own fate. They do not want decisions about their future to be made over their heads, and they certainly do not want that to come from Trump. Most of the people I spoke to perceive this attitude as neo-colonial, the idea of saying, I want this, so I'll take it. Greenland is my territory. It lies in our Western Hemisphere, which we, as the United States, claim for ourselves. Why Trump wants Greenland is no secret anyway. It is a strategically important island in the far north, in the Arctic. It is about new shipping routes. Keyword, climate change. As Arctic ice melts due to climate change, new trade routes are opening up. This makes it significantly faster, for example, to travel from Europe into the Pacific. It is about military considerations and, of course, about natural resources. Greenland is rich in rare earths. Greenland has gold, and it has other mineral resources that could potentially be exploited. But what matters most to the United States, and I briefly mentioned this earlier, is the strategic dimension. The Arctic is becoming increasingly important, not only in terms of trade routes, but also from a strategic perspective. Russia is rearming, China is showing growing interest in the region, and Donald Trump has this grand vision of a so-called Golden Dome, essentially Trump's exaggerated version of what Israel has with the Iron Dome that protects the country. Trump wants a Golden Dome of his own, because that's how Trump is. It has to be golden, or at least play that role, a shield to protect the United States, to protect North America against possible attacks from Russia or China. And for that, Trump says, Greenland would be needed to station missile defense systems, radar installations, and other military infrastructure there. And for precisely this reason, Greenland is suddenly becoming a key security issue, something the Americans desperately want. So much so, in fact, that Trump is potentially putting the future of relations with NATO and the future of relations with Europe at risk. What's striking is that Trump is not conducting these talks with the Greenlandic government or with Denmark. Instead, he speaks with NATO, he speaks with others, and leaves the people of Greenland out of it entirely. And that angers a great many people. Greenlandic MP Arja Chemnitz has said that NATO has no mandate to negotiate over Greenland's natural resources, and mistrust also remains in Denmark. Foreign Minister Lars Løkke Rasmussen has spoken of cautious optimism after Trump's retreat in Davos. But Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen has made one thing very clear. Sovereignty is not up for negotiation. And as I said, the big question remains whether what Trump said in Davos will hold up in the long run. He has clearly noticed that the Europeans are standing very firmly together and were not impressed by his threats of punitive tariffs, which, after all, is something he always resorts to when something doesn't suit him. When countries irritate him or don't comply, he threatens them with tariffs and sanctions. He did the same in the case of Greenland, only to later back down when he realized that he could not influence the Europeans, that in this case they stood united, did not give in, and said, "This is not how it works, Mr. President." So for now, Trump has pulled back. But the key question is how long that will last. As we know, Trump is someone who thinks one thing today and something completely different tomorrow. And for that reason, the Greenland issue is certainly far from resolved, even after Davos. I could sense that clearly in Nuuk. People were visibly tense during those days. It wasn't that they were panicking or stockpiling food, although Prime Minister Nielsen briefly hinted that they should. He suggested that all Greenlanders should have food supplies for at least 5 days, so that in the event of an American attack, which Trump had also floated as a possibility, including military intervention, they would have enough to eat and drink. As I said when I was there, people hadn't actually done that yet, but you could feel how much this issue was weighing on them. Among others, I met Mickey Suk. He is 56, a fisherman, and was selling his catch at the time. He was wearing rubber boots and rubber gloves that smelled strongly of fish. He fishes for halibut. He told me that his family has lived here for generations. He is indigenous, an Inuit. He has 6 children. And his greatest wish, he said, is that his children grow up in a free Greenland. And it has to be said, as I hinted earlier, he is now one of the few who still firmly insist on full independence for Greenland.
We don't want to be American. We don't want to be a Danish. We want to be Greenland. And we want for own, we can make our business with USA or other countries.
He said that Greenland could do business with the United States, with Europe, with anyone, but they no longer wanted to be a colony. That memory of the colonial period, between 1721 and 1953, still runs deep among Greenlanders. I also visited the National Museum, where this history is documented. When Greenland became an autonomous territory, the indigenous Inuit population was not treated particularly well. On the contrary, Inuit women were subjected to enforced contraception. These are all things that people remember very painfully, and that is why, as I mentioned, there were strong independence movements for a long time. What people definitely do not want is to become a colony again, the way Trump seems to imagine it. Greenland simply as a huge military base, where natural resources are exploited and the people themselves play no real role. Even today, Greenlanders do not benefit equally from their natural resources. And currently, the most important thing Greenland produces is fish. The North Atlantic waters are rich in various species, halibut, crabs, and other seafood. I met a woman named Ellen, 57, walking along the main street with her shopping. She complained that the Danes, for example, buy fish very cheaply in Greenland and then sell it at 10 times the price elsewhere. She was clearly not happy about that. And she also made very clear what she thinks of Trump.
I think it's Trump, it's not good because he have many money and he think he can buy us, but we're not for sale.
You could really see it everywhere. We are not for sale. Some shops even put it on posters. Greenland is not for sale. There was a major demonstration the weekend I arrived. I got there on Sunday, January 18th, and the demonstration had taken place on January 17th. Thousands of people came together peacefully, protesting for a free Greenland, insisting that Greenland must not become an American colony. Ellen also told me that Trump makes her tired because he seems to think everything can be bought with money. She also said something that many others mentioned. It's good that there are soldiers present now. And of course, she was not talking about the American troops, who are already stationed at an airbase in the north, but about the Germans who had arrived. That weekend, or just before it, a German Bundeswehr reconnaissance team came, along with soldiers from the Netherlands, France, and Iceland. It was a 15-person reconnaissance unit, and it was, in a way, a show of force. The idea was to demonstrate, we will definitely not allow this island to be taken over. Now, the idea that German, Danish, or Icelandic soldiers would shoot at American soldiers is, of course, completely absurd. But if the Americans were actually to intervene militarily, to simply take this huge piece of land by force, it would certainly be the end of NATO. And so, the thought of a military clash there is not entirely abstract. At least it wasn't until Trump spoke in Davos and ruled out the use of military force. This German reconnaissance team was there for a few days. As was reported publicly, the mission was to work together with NATO to ensure security in the region and also to strengthen what is effectively an Arctic command based in Nuuk, safeguarding NATO's security interests in the Arctic in the long term. At the airport in Nuuk, I spoke with Lieutenant Colonel Peter Milevchik, the press officer for this command, which was only there for 4 days before leaving, and he drew a very positive conclusion from the deployment.
There was a lively exchange, and with the information and experiences we've gathered, we're now flying back home. Afterwards, we'll discuss possible options and see how to proceed from there.
Of course, it's a bit unrealistic to think that the German army could immediately deploy large troop contingents to the Arctic. Arctic warfare is very different from what the German army usually does. Of course, there are special units trained for Arctic conditions, and mountain units might also be able to handle it. But moving a significant force there would certainly take several months to set up. And it starts with the equipment. Vehicles that run on oil, for example, simply don't work at minus 20 degrees. They freeze. Then all the gear has to be secured properly, and in that respect, the Bundeswehr is definitely not ready yet. So it would certainly take time to deploy anything larger. But the signal was clear. Europe stands with Greenland and Denmark, and many people here noticed that very clearly. Julie, a young woman of 32, was walking through the pedestrian zone with some friends, her daughter, and other children. She told me it was a bit strange to be in Nuuk and see journalists every 50 meters all over the city asking people questions, journalists from all over the world. You could tell the locals were a little overwhelmed and some were perhaps a bit annoyed. Julie told me that it felt a bit odd for her, too.
I don't know. It's weird that it's happening and that we get so much attention because we're not really used to little Greenland getting so much attention. But I think it's important that we show that we are together.
She also said that it's important for Greenlanders that NATO shows it stands together, that the NATO countries beyond the US make it clear that Greenland is not just a bargaining chip. I met a teenager, Lars, 16 years old, who, by the way, was walking around with his jacket wide open in minus 14 degrees. Meanwhile, we really had to bundle up. We even had to buy spikes for our shoes, which I'd never worn before. You know, those galoshes you pull over your shoes for traction on ice. On the first day, I fell hard twice because everything was frozen. So we went to an outdoor shop and got these overshoes. Of course, they were all bundled up the whole time. Long underwear, long undershirt, two sweaters, really thick layers. But this teenager, he was running around with his jacket wide open, clearly unaffected by the cold. And he summed it up with a bit of dark humor.
If Trump takes us with force, he might give us like fast foods and maybe better gyms and all that. But I'd rather not be American because I like the way Greenland is. I like the way I can have my own free will and do whatever I want.
Lars also said he hopes that other countries will stop Trump and that someone will take responsibility. And in fact, that did happen a day or two after our conversation. I think it was a difficult experience for Trump's ego, already very inflated, to suddenly see everyone who had previously backed down now standing up, from the Canadian Prime Minister to France's President Macron and even German Chancellor Merz. They all made it very clear to him, so, my friend, this far and no further. I think it was quite an experience for him, one he will probably dwell on for a while. But from my perspective, it was simply good and long overdue that Europe finally stood its ground. Europe doesn't always have to play along. It can push back. And we shouldn't forget, Europe itself is a major power, with a single market of 450 million people. A gross domestic product of 18 trillion euros. That's a lot to work with. And so it was important to show, Mr. President, we are not afraid of you, and we can push back. Karina, 32, like Julie, has only lived in Nuuk for 2 years. She comes from Denmark and works in construction. Of course, collaboration is very important for the locals.
Yeah, of course, for the Greenlanders, the togetherness is very important and the calm. So to stick together is really, really important. Yeah, so that's a great thing. Yeah. Okay. I think it's good that they have a diplomatic way of talking between Denmark and USA and Greenland. And it should be that way instead of just social media and new comments every day. It's better to keep it calm and, yeah, listen to what Greenlanders want, not what he wants.
That's also such an interesting aspect. I've already mentioned the demonstration, thousands of people on the streets. For a small city like Nuuk, with just 20,000 inhabitants, that was a huge event. And Trump, in a way, simply brought the Greenlanders together. That was certainly not his intention, but it happened. As I mentioned, Greenlanders have also grown closer to their former colonial power, Denmark. And now, for the time being, the independence movement has been put on hold. People acknowledge that Denmark does a lot for Greenland. The Danish government finances about half of Greenland's state budget. Greenlanders enjoy a very good social system and healthcare, like in Denmark. Free healthcare and similar benefits. And this is something they repeatedly told us. This alone is one of the reasons they don't want to become Americans, because they know full well that their situation would definitely worsen if that were to happen. Everywhere we went, in pubs, shopping centers, on the streets, you could hear the same sentiment in Nuuk during those days. There are different opinions about independence, sure, but everyone agrees on this point. We do not want to become Americans, and we want to decide our own future. Greenlanders, it's often said, are used to the forces of nature. They know that when storms come, they eventually pass. They live with these storms, with the cold, with the ice. But political storms are, of course, new to them. And these storms have triggered something rarely seen. Greenland, in the focus of global attention, a small country clearly stating what it does not want. I found that fascinating, the resilience and defiance of the Greenlanders. They are not going to be moved around like pawns on a chessboard. They want to take their destiny into their own hands. What impressed me was also the calm. As I said, there was some tension, but no hysteria, no alarmism. At the same time, there is little trust in political promises. Even after Trump's appearance in Davos, I spoke with people, and this distrust was very clear. They said, well, who knows what he'll say today? Tomorrow he'll probably say something completely different. Trust in the Americans is very, very low, and so is the shelf life of anything Trump says. So even after his speech in Davos, people were somewhat relieved that, for now, there would be no American military intervention. Many people I spoke with said, joking or half seriously, that if the Americans did come, they would pick up arms. Perhaps that's a bit of pub talk, but the fact is many people in Greenland are hunters. Almost everyone owns weapons, and they are excellent marksmen. Several people told me that if they were ever militarily occupied, they would defend themselves, and they would certainly cause the Americans significant problems, because the Americans are not used to operating in such an Arctic climate and environment. At the same time, people know they are very small, very few in number, which makes them vulnerable, and that they rely on others. The crucial question will be whether the major powers learn to treat this island as what it really is, a home for people, not a geopolitical playground. This was In Crisis Mode. This podcast was produced by Alexander Baumeister, a journalist at Funke Media Group Radio. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe, share it, and write to us at krisenmodus@funkemedien.de. Take care and see you next time. Ciao, ciao.
Ohne deine Hilfe wäre ich morgen noch nicht umgezogen, Marc. Hier, nimm mal den Karton. Hä? Marc?
Lass dich nicht kaltstellen von der Erkältung. Aspirin Complex wirkt gegen mehrere Symptome gleichzeitig. Es lindert Erkältungsschmerzen, Fieber und befreit sogar Nase und Nebenhöhlen. Schnell, effektiv bis zu 6 Stunden.
Los geht's. Hep.
Aspirin Complex. Trotz Erkältung voll im Leben. Zu Risiken und Nebenwirkungen lesen Sie die Packungsbeilage und fragen Sie Ihre Ärztin, Ihren Arzt oder in Ihrer Apotheke.